the holiday of Christmas is definitely one of my favorite holidays. I think it is for many in society here in the United States. There's a lot of time, a lot of energy spent on preparation, a lot of thinking ahead of things that they're going to do, a lot of getting together, and a lot of giving of gifts, a lot of generosity takes place. And most of that is good. All of it is probably good into a certain form. Although we do not want to forget what Christmas is really about. And there's also, again, a lot of emphasis put on Easter, which is probably as important or maybe even more important than Christmas to us as Christians. You can turn your Bible to Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to be looking at a few of the verses that were even touched on in our devotions here this morning, but kind of somewhat from a different aspect. I really appreciated Jeff's devotional thoughts there about of being faithful through the trials, and that it may not be obvious to others around us what we are going through, what the Lord is doing in our own lives. I want to jump in to a story here in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41, which is a story that has taken place after Jesus' birth. I just want to read verses actually 41 through 52 at this time. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among those kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his teaching and answered. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And they went down with, and he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. There's a song that probably a lot of you know the words to. And I'm going to read some of the words. It's not the complete song. That kind of depicts this story. On their journey from Jerusalem, returning to their home, Joseph and his family traveled all day long. They must have walked for many miles before they realized Jesus was not with them. Mary sadly cried, Where is Jesus? Did you leave him far behind? Did you take for granted he was here, walking with me all the time? Where is Jesus? To find him once again, you must return to the place where you left him. Then for us today, where is Jesus? Did we leave him far behind? Did we take for granted he was here, walking with us all the time? Where is Jesus? To find him once again, we must return to the place where we left him. Where is Jesus? And that's the title of my message this morning, Where is Jesus? Especially as we go into this Christmas season again. And so often, so much of society around us is celebrating Christmas, but they're forgetting the real reason of Christmas. They're leaving Jesus out of it. Where is Jesus in their Christmas? Many today have left Jesus behind. Why is that sad? Why is that of importance? I think we know the answer for us as Christians is because we need a Savior. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus coming as a babe so that he could die for us and create a way of salvation. You see, man has made a choice that has put distance between the human race and God. Now that The first person who made that choice was Adam and Eve in the garden. And the choice that they made there has followed on through the generations, that has put distance between God and man. Just like this story here, there was distance between Jesus' parents and Jesus. They were no longer together. Something happened. They were apart. There was a forgetting of him behind. Turn in your Bibles back to Genesis 3. I just like to read in here in Genesis 3. To me, it just helps explain. I know I've done this before in a Christmas sermon, but it helps me realize the importance of why we celebrate Christmas and why we are so excited about Jesus coming to this earth. It's because of what happened here in Genesis 3. And we all know the story, very familiar, how the serpent came and tempted Eve, and she took of the fruit and did eat and gave to her husband, who also ate. And they went directly against the command of God that said not to eat of the tree here, of knowledge of good and evil. But they did it. And then jumping into verse 8, and I just want to read from verse 8 down to 24, or the end of the chapter, and just, I'll show you a few places later, but look at it as we read about the separation that has taken place here and continues to separate right down through here, the distance that there was between God and man. We know how they were created, and God created Adam. He breathed into him the breath of life, so there's a very close connection. I believe he communicated with them. He walked with them in the garden daily and talked with them. And see, there was a very close connection there. But from this point forward, because of their sin, there was this separation. Going into verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to me be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is that this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the day of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. A very sad story for the human race. We see that Adam and Eve, I believe, as I said before, had this connection with God, a close communication that was separated because of their disobedience. We see there in verse 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" You see, normally Adam and Eve had been walking and talking with God, And then it seems that one evening after this happened, that God came to the garden and they were not there, or they were not right there where he normally would maybe meet them. But it was, where art thou? We see the beginning of the separation. And then Adam says, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Another sign of separation. You see, fear is never accompanied with closeness. Think of two friends. There's probably no fearfulness between them. Think of a good husband and wife relationship. There's very little fear. But fear had come on. A fear of somebody else. Fear of God. Man was fearing God. The separation was getting wider. It was happening. There was distance between them. Also, then going down to verses 23 and 24. Therefore, the Lord God sent them forth from the Garden of Eden. He sent them out. They no longer could be in his presence and with him. God sent him out, and there was this distance between them. In verse 24, it says, so he drove out the man, and there was space between them. You see, the Garden of Eden was a very beautiful place. I believe it was probably very similar to what heaven will be like. It was a very beautiful thing, and it's where God dwelt and talked with man. But then there was this distance that became between them. You see, because of those choices that happened there in the Garden of Eden, because of that, it has passed on to each of us today. We think of, read the verse in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, we don't have a choice here today. We have this separation between God and man. You also think, too, or it was at this point that there was a need for a man to have a savior. Because man is sinful and unable to save himself. Because of sin, the entire human race is born with the sinful nature. And that includes you and me this morning. Since we are all sinful, there is no way that we can come back and make our... There's no way we can come back into the presence of God, because we are no longer, we're not free from sin, we're not clean, and so there was this distance. And we also especially think of the people in the Old Testament. We'll get into a little bit more too, that, or I'll mention that with Jesus coming and then dying, he has sent the Holy Spirit to live with us and in us, and so we are probably, that distance between us and God is definitely closer than it was in the Old Testament. The Old Testament people, they did not have a Savior yet at this point. And they were looking forward to a time when somebody would come to save them. So you could say the distance was wider at that point in time. It created a distance between God and man. This is the reason why Jesus is coming to the earth today is of such great importance. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It's because we now have a Savior. To us, it means there is hope. To anyone who recognizes that they are lost, it is the key to hope for us. We all would be condemned to death, just like Satan when God cast Lucifer out of heaven. There is no coming back into the presence of God, and we would be the same, except that Jesus has come and made this way of redemption. There is now a way back to God. Thinking a little bit more about the Old Testament, and there's many verses that pointed forward to the coming of Jesus. You see, they knew they needed a Savior. They knew they were lost. And many in the Jewish nation at the time, especially the religious leaders, missed Jesus coming. Why was that? Why did they miss his coming? We need to remember that they were under the Roman rule and were hoping or expecting a ruler to rise up and save them, free them from the Romans. So when Jesus came as an innocent baby in a lowly manger from Nazareth, a lowly manger in Bethlehem, where he came out of Nazareth. They were not, that's not what they were looking for. You even think of Herod, who went around killing all the babies at that time because he was afraid that he was going to lose his throne. And I believe this morning that it was everybody, or a lot of people of the day, believed that this was going to be an earthly ruler, an earthly king, even those who were not Jews or were not Christ believing at the time. Even Herod himself thought he may be threatened. But the question I have for each of us this morning, are we any different today? Are we the same as the Jews? Are we celebrating Christmas but forgetting to remember Jesus? Just a challenge that I want to instill in us this morning, that we do not forget Jesus through it all. Because I don't feel we are there, but as you know, there's many around us in society that celebrate Christmas but yet think very little about Jesus. Does the holiday spirit, shopping, family gatherings, gift giving, occupy so much of our time that we forget to draw near to Jesus? Or do we eagerly come to Jesus and worship him as the shepherds did? Do we, as the shepherds, glorify and praise God for all the things that were heard and seen and have been told? You know that they left that manger side that night and they glorified God and they told everybody else around them about him, about Jesus. Is that what we're doing this morning? Is that you and I? Especially over this holiday season, or the holiday that the United States has set aside, the day that we've set aside to remember Jesus' birth. If Jesus came today as a babe, and you found out that he was, let's say, in Lancaster, would you leave your so-called flocks and run to see him as the shepherds did? Or what if you found out that Jesus was in Israel? Would you take the trip like the wise men did to go worship him, to bring him gifts? Would you make arrangements to travel across around the world to see him? Would your holiday be any different if you knew that Jesus was somewhere on this earth today? But you see, Jesus is here today. He is not here in a physical person, but he is here in spirit. He lives inside his believers. In Matthew 28:20, it says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." Even unto the end of the earth. So Jesus is here, but are we taking time to remember him, to draw near to him, to worship him this Christmas? You can turn back to Luke chapter 1. So we know we have a need of a Savior. The Old Testament people knew they had a need of the Savior. And then it was foretold, it was prophesied many times in the Old Testament. And then it actually happened. And the story here, I just want to take time to go down through the Christmas story and read it. I'm going to pull from two of the Gospels, so there'll be a little bit of jumping around. Just to get the whole picture of how it actually happened and why it is. There's a lot of just interesting points about it. Maybe we view it as fairly familiar, or it is very familiar to all of us. But I just want us to stop or to think about it as we go through this story again, that this is our Savior. It was his way of coming to earth. Luke 1:26. And on the sixth month, the Gabriel the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou hast conceived in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Lord, the Holy Ghost, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and is in the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And jumping back to Matthew chapter 1. So there we see the angel coming to Mary. Matthew chapter 1, starting in at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary for wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Going back to Luke chapter 2, starting in at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Going back to Matthew 2, starting in at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard all these things, he was troubled, and all of Israel with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them of where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for this it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people of Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you find him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they were come into the house. They saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word that Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it may be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah there a voice heard lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. We'll cease reading there. The story of Christ's birth. Very joyful time in many ways for Israel. We know that there was many who were excited, were happy, because it was revealed to them that the Savior was finally here. But then we see in the latter part of the story here too, there was much sorrow and suffering, as there was many, the children, the boys under two were killed. It was also a time of lamentation. So we see that there was a lot that needed to take place in order for a Savior to come to earth. There's another Christmas song we sing, and that is Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and flocks, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. It's because of Christ's love this morning that he has come to earth. But are we recognizing him as the Lord is come, the Savior reigns, and he rules the world? Do we think about that? Do we recognize that daily, or especially over this Christmas season, that the Lord God is sovereign, he is in control, and he is also our Savior? This baby, as the story we read here, as we know, is the Son of God. And that was the only way there could be a way of salvation. This baby grew up. He helped many people during his time here on earth. He gave himself completely in a lot of ways to helping others, to the work of ministering to the needs of others. And then the most important thing is that he died for us and has created a way that we can be reconciled with God. We can come back to God. We can come back to Jesus. And someday, because of what Jesus has done, we can go into the presence of God. This baby is our Savior. And a Savior is someone who has rescued somebody from danger. This morning we were in danger. We were in danger of not being able to be back in the presence of Jesus or God ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and God drove them out. There is no way we as human, in our human nature, can enter back into the presence of God because we are sinful, we are unclean, and God is holy and free from sin. We were exiled from his presence ever since back in Genesis. But do we let him rule our lives today? Do we allow him to be our Savior? Are we trying to do it on our own? As the words of the first song I said, do we have the same desire as the wise men from the east to see Jesus? So the question I have this morning is, where is Jesus in your life today? Stop and think about that. Where are you giving room for Jesus? Maybe you have never had a personal relationship with him. And maybe you never heard of the voice of the Lord. Or maybe you have heard the voice of the Lord, but you have hid yourself from the presence of God, as Adam and Eve had. That's not a good place to be either, hiding from the presence of the Lord. Or maybe you just remember those days that you used to communicate with God, used to talk with him, but somehow you've left them in the past. You left Jesus behind. Somehow he slipped out of your life. Maybe your life has been a busy normal. The pressure of family, work, church has caused you to take for granted that Jesus was still here. And you looked up and you realized that along through life, you have not taken the time you should have for him. You can choose to walk with him again. You don't have to walk alone. It's a choice that we all have this morning. And I challenge you today to find Jesus, especially as we think of his birth this week. He has come that we may have hope. He has come to reach out to each one of us. Are we reaching out to him? Are we letting him lead our lives? As we go through Christmas, the day set aside, remember the birth of our Savior. I just pray that we would not forget Jesus. Put him in the center of your holiday this week. Don't let him get crowded out with family and gifts and helping others. All good things, but we need to have in the right place. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.